I used to, one thing I miss about my corporate job is when I would travel and then eventually I would be out late with whoever. And there was one time I got back to my room and we really didn't eat dinner. We did a lot of drinking. So I ordered a pizza. Pizza came. And the next thing I knew, I was woken up in the morning by a cleaning lady, still in my shirt and dress pants, and I had pizza all over my body in the bed.
Did you think it
looked like blood? A murder scene, huh?
Did you think it was blood?
No, I knew it was pizza because I woke up and I started chewing on some of it immediately. All right, so 3, 2, 1. Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to Smartest Guy in the Room. I'm Jerry Dempsey, Matt Smith, as always. And we have a hell of a show for you this morning. Hi, Matt.
Jerry, welcome back from vacation.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Made a lot of memories, buddy. It's all about making memories.
Yeah, it is. Except, you know, your kids are at a perfect age for memories. I hate the parents who, like, will have children and then they'll drag the kids down to Disney World when they're, like, 18 months old and, like, force the Disney characters on them and because they're, you know, they want to create memories. And these kids aren't going to fucking remember any of that shit.
Absolutely true. I don't understand it other than... To me, it becomes painfully obvious that these people are trying to relive memories they didn't have as a child themselves.
Yeah, or they had the memories when they were 8 or 9, but they're so excited to have kids and force their own memories onto their kids.
Yep.
You know, I used to work with a guy, I used to share an office with a guy who was... every time they'd have a new kid, he'd take the kids down to Disney World and he's like, oh, it was great. You know, so-and-so had a great time. And I'm like, so-and-so is 18 months old, barely even knows it's alive. You know,
I had to take my son there. I'd never been to Disney because I was impoverished as a child. And plus we all thought it was stupid anyway.
Disney is fucking awful.
Yeah, but so, like, I had to go down there for the first time, and my kid was 2.
Yeah.
And not only, after about the first day, when I realized that they didn't even serve beer in the park.
Oh, it's a fucking travesty, isn't it?
This was after, we got there pretty early, and we waited about an hour and a half for him to ride in the teacups. And now I was just like, and again, this is my first time at the park, and we were staying at a really nice hotel that had a lazy river. It was called the Beach, right? It was one of the properties. And I'm like, why aren't we just hanging out at the freaking pool, you know, doing nothing? I was working a lot back then. I didn't have a lot of free time. So me personally, selfishly, when I got free time, I didn't want to do things like wait in line for hours or go sit in a hot, itchy church for 2 hours, you know, learning about how I'm going to hell in multiple reasons. But like, yeah. it was torture, and I fucking hated the mouse even more after that. The upside of that story is that I did the next day, I snuck all these little airplane bottles of vodka into, you know, the Magic Kingdom, and it did become magical for me.
Well, you know, you bring up two interesting points. One is like when you have free time, when you're working and you're a dad, there's so many parents now who are like, they'll work their ass off and then they'll take vacation and they'll arrange the vacation around their kids. And they're, you know, I've heard them say to me before, like, well, our kids deserve, you know, this. And it's like, no, your kids don't deserve shit. You and your spouse are the ones that are working your ass off.
Yep.
You deserve the vacation you want. And your kids are blessed to be able to go along. You know what I mean? Like I worked with one guy and at the time I was a lot younger and it sounded kind of harsh, but as I grew up, I realized this fucker was right. He was like, you know, him and his wife used to go to this incredibly boring but peaceful place in Maine on their vacation. And I had been there before, and it's a boring place, but it's pretty. But there's like nothing to do there. And they had kids, and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, my wife and I refuse to go to amusement parks. And I said, well, aren't your kids bored? I said, aren't your kids bored? And, you know, again, this is like 25 years ago. And he was like, fuck them. They don't work. He's like, my wife and I work. Yeah. He's like, you know, and he was right. He was completely right. The other thing you were right about that brought back a memory, speaking about Disney and memories, is, you know, when I got married, my wife and I went to, I can't even remember where we went. I think it was the Bahamas for our honeymoon. We took like a cruise to the Bahamas from Florida and spent a couple of days on the island. And then on the way back, we stopped at Disney World. And it was like about 150,000 degrees out that day that we were at Disney. And, you know, we were at the Magic Kingdom part of Disney. And I was like a man on a mission trying to find a beer. I don't know if you remember the Brady Bunch episode where one of the kids loses Mike Brady's architectural drawings at Disney World. And they're like, there's a whole montage of the family like running all over Disney trying to find the drawings. That's how I was trying to find a beer, you know? And then I finally grabbed the employee and I'm like, where can I get beer? And this fucking employee looked at me like they had their frontal lobe removed, you know, because they're all programmed, or they were at one point. And he's like, sir, there is no beer at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, note to self, never come back here.
It's fucked up, man. It's a crazy place. Yeah. I don't understand.
God forbid they serve beer. I mean, Walt Disney was a fucking racist, but beer is the problem, right? Fuck that.
I mean, we could go on for hours on that topic.
I don't understand grown-up women, too, who are these Disney princesses, you know? I know so many that are, like, in their late 30s, early 40s, they just turn into idiots when they...
I think it's just the fantasy, you know?
It's like fantasy life, about what?
Well, because life... kind of sucks. They get to that middle age where their looks are fading, you know, and they're not that interesting anymore. And this way they can go to this kingdom and vicariously live out some dream that they never had to begin with. I mean, I don't really know, to be honest with you.
I agree with everything you said there, maybe except for I don't want to be harsh about fading looks. I find middle-aged women attractive, but yeah,
Let me interject. I just because it is not, you know, beauty is the eye of the beholder. I can look at a middle-aged woman and definitely see sexiness and attractiveness, especially like when they're mature enough not to be immature and they're still cool enough to not be a pain in the ass. It's their perception of themselves that people like me and you may not understand, because we're like, well, she's great looking. She's in shape. She's got a good job. She's cool. Funny to talk to.
Right.
You know, has a slightly cynical approach to life, but it's that's what makes her more interesting. We can say all those things, but if they don't see it in themselves, and that's therein where the problem lies, buddy.
Yeah.
I want to make a clear distinction of that.
I agree. I have the same perception of myself. I'm just a hideous monster. Fuck.
I try to take the Leonardo da Vinci approach, which, and I think Einstein said this too, is always try to remain childlike. But, you know, picking my nose and doing certain immature things is not probably what they meant.
I'm doing a new thing now where I avoid mirrors or any reflection of myself in a window.
Probably wish you were a vampire, don't you?
I wish I was invisible. I'm fucking gross.
This is a true story. I go to the gym yesterday, and the guy working the front desk is a very fashionable young man. And he had on a tie that was like a mirrored tie. It was like little tiles going down, like a long tie, regular, but it was mirrored. And when I walked up to check in, I could see myself and I went, and he's like, well, you don't like my tie? And I'm like, no, I don't like the fact that I just saw myself in your tie.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a gym employee in a tie in my life.
Oh, our gym is very upscale, and all the people that work the front desk, and they have a bunch of salespeople, which I don't know what they're doing all day, but they dress, they're all wearing, you know, business professional attire.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's the image they want to project, right?
It's a very high level gym, I guess.
I just started working out again. High intensity with a personal trainer that I'm paying through the nose for, but I figure, you know what? It's my health. I'll invest in my health.
Why do you American... think high intensity training is the answer? Can I just ask a dumb question?
It's not. I'm using the word high. I'm not saying the training is necessary.
Your high intensity is someone else's low intensity.
I'm just saying that, you know. I was in really good shape and then the pandemic hit. And then
I saw a picture of you in a singlet, and for anyone out on the internet, man, he's totally hot in this picture. Sorry.
Who doesn't want to see a 50-year-old
that
man
wrestling singlet? I was like, threw that in the spank bank.
But you know, then the pandemic hit and everyone like fell off during the pandemic. I think I gained like 15 pounds during the whole pandemic pause. And then my last year of work, it was all travel and traveling back and forth to Buffalo because my wife was here because she left way 6 months before I did. So like I just fell off and I got fucking grotesque. So I got back to Buffalo. I joined a commercial gym just to get some workouts in, but commercial gyms suck. You know, they're like $20 a month, but you get what you pay for, and they blow, and you can't. There's so many people there, you can't really work out appropriately. You can't do.
But a dude like you, you know what you're doing. You've lifted weights that very few people can lift. Why wouldn't you just invest in like a home gym?
Because as I get older, I need to work out differently. And, my son knows exactly what I need because he's got a 4-year degree in it and very high level certificates from American Sports College of Medicine and all that other bullshit. And, you know, he knows what I need, and what I need, I can't do at a commercial gym, and I really can't do alone. And, anyway, long story short, I've been back and doing very, very, very well. But you know, a lot of it, 80% of it is nutrition. Like you can't outwork a fucking shitty diet. So yeah. I've been a Nazi lately about my diet.
More cheese danishes? What the fuck?
No, man. Buffalo will kill you. Buffalo's an easy place.
Fucking food. Every time I go visit, I like put on easily 5 to 10 pounds.
Yeah. So I've been, I got to get strict about it. Number one, I just need to get more strict about that just because of my age. You know, you can't. So anyway,
you're depressing me. I was very excited to talk about Bruce Springsteen this morning.
Well, the point is I'm avoiding mirrors. It's not about working out. It's about hating myself and avoiding mirrors.
That's why you grow the beard. You don't have to shave. That's one less reason to look in the mirror.
So, yeah, I hate myself. So.
Well, let's see if we can change that. You're good. How did that? You're good and you're worth it. Stuart Smalley or whatever.
Positive affirmations.
Oh, they're so good. Affirmation. So, folks, for the topic today, you know, I'm going to start this out with the little history of Jerry Dempsey and the Bruce Springsteen. Now, of course, me being super cool, like I've always been, I was a Bruce fan when Bruce was barely known outside of New Jersey. So we're going back to like 1980. Well, and the reason
I can vouch for this because I knew you. So you're telling the truth.
And I'll tell you,
I would say it was even earlier.
I can't remember, but what I can remember is my older brother, who's 4 years older than me, you know, played college football. And when he went into summer camp, it had to be 80 or 81. His roommate for football camp was some dude from Jersey who had all these bootleg tapes of Bruce Springsteen. And I don't know what got played on the radio in the 70s, right? Probably Blinded by the Light, but not even, because Manfred Mann's Earth Band made Blinded by the Light famous, right?
Yeah, they did.
Bruce didn't. I mean, he sucked. So, like, anyway, my brother came home from camp and he had some of the bootlegs and he's like, you got to listen to this guy. He's a nut. And that's my first memory of how I got hooked on to the Bruce. And, you know, all through my high school years, I'd try to sang him in front of our high school ad hoc at some pep rally. And, you know, just not that I'm a good singer. I did sing in church when I was a young man. I don't know if I ever told you that.
You performed Thunder Road at my wedding.
Yeah, but I don't remember that because I was bombed out of my... I was on Thunder Road.
I have photos to prove it.
But, like, the point is, you know, Bruce was always heralded as the common man's hero, working class hero kind of guy. And he built his whole empire around that. And he's come under fire last couple weeks.
He's come up under intense fire.
Well, again, the man just, you know, it's the more we know, right? What is it? Familiarity breeds contempt. You know, when you know how rich the motherfucker is, and then it kind of loses his shtick of, oh, yeah, I'm a every man's guy. But he sung about that, too, like the one song where he's like a rich man in a poor man's shirt. I mean, he's self-indicting himself. So he's still very, you know, I don't know what the right word is, but, well, why don't you take a swing at what we're talking about today and move my point along for me?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about this as a whole and use Bruce as an example, but, you know, there's corporatism involved in this. There's hypocrisy involved in this. There's total lack of self-awareness that's involved in this. But so let's backtrack a little bit. Bruce is going on tour next year, and his tour has been making a lot of news because he's, you know, a Bruce. He's a number one attraction, and there's a system of ticket pricing. Ticketmaster is involved in this, and Ticketmaster is the great Satan of the, you know, concert world. They've been challenged numerous times going back 30 years for their practices.
Yep.
But they have a system called dynamic pricing where it's, you know, it's a lot like mortgages. It's a variable system of pricing instead of a fixed system. So they can update and really manipulate their pricing based on market fluctuations. So some of the Bruce tickets now are selling for like $5,000. And, yep, you know, it's basically boxed out any type of loyal fan who's just a regular guy who Bruce, you know, has always built his career upon singing about. And, you know, Ticketmaster is saying that only 11% of the Bruce tickets are in that $5,000 stratosphere, and that the majority are in the $200,000 range. But surprisingly to me, Bruce's management team, and he's had this longtime manager, John Landau, who discovered Bruce in the 70s. And John Landau became this icon in music as well because he discovered Bruce. And his statement was so fucking tone deaf. You know, you'd think you'd go and you'd make it better by saying like, oh, we'll look into this, or like, you know, we won't put up, we won't stand for this next time. And instead, what Bruce Springsteen's management said, you know, it was completely, it had, the statement lacked any empathy whatsoever. And, you know, he completely dismissed the controversy, saying that, like, you know, in today's environment, you know, this is a fair price to see someone who's universally regarded as among the greatest artists of his generation. And it was so, it's like, he failed to mention that this fucking art, this is the very artist who made his career singing about the plight of the working man, you know? This guy, they showed no empathy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's weird because Bruce, you're right. There's that one lyric he sings about like a rich man in a poor man's shirt. And, you know, the more he became this superstar, you know, people have touched on it like, oh, here's this guy who's made, who's a gazillionaire singing about like the working man. And, you know, it was it that image that he built for himself was getting harder and harder to maintain. But the last couple of years, and especially with this, he just looks like the man now. And I mean, like, not right. The man in a cool way. I'm talking like, you know, a corporate suit, the man, like, you know, the guy people work for.
It's strange. I was listening to the radio in the car the other day, and Ben Folds comes on the radio. It's got an obscure song called The Ascent of Stan.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with it. But basically, if you read the lyrics, it's how a kid becomes transformed into the man, right? Because the lyrics go something like textbook hippie man. So, you know, he kind of grew up being, you know, anti or counterculture, you know.
Right.
Anti-establishment. But then you just become the establishment. And I don't know if it's allegorical, like, you're a kid and then at some point you become a father. So it's like,
yeah,
it's inescapable that you will become the institution.
Right.
And I think for Bruce, and this is what I think of all rich people, like we talk about billionaires and we talked about all this stuff, you know, all of it's interconnected, like some insane Rubik's cube of a Venn diagram.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think it's important once you get to that level to really start being philanthropic and letting it show.
Yeah.
You know, if you, because it's, what else do you have left to prove to the world when you're worth a half a billion or a billion or 200 billion?
Yeah.
You know, like it just becomes zeros at the end of it. So it's like what you do with it. And, you know, for Ticketmaster to say, well, we're cutting out the scalpers by becoming the scalper, you know, okay, great. But what you're still ripping people off, bottom line. And
right.
And to reference the airline industry or Uber, because Uber does that, right? Peak times, all of a sudden the rates go up and you're like, what the fuck, motherfucker? You know, from an economic model, you know, supply and demand, I'll put it this way. If the price of milk goes up, you can go drink something else. But there are certain things in an economy that aren't replaceable. Like if there was a price on oxygen in the air and they start jacking up the price of air for us to breathe, we would be fucked. Just trying to think of an extreme example there for you. But I mean, you know, like if the price of coffee goes up, we could drink tea, or I could drink soda or something else with caffeine in it, you know? Did you ever, yeah, speaking of caffeine drinks, did you ever drink a Four Loko when you were on any benders?
No, but you know what? That shit is the stuff that my kids like, when they started partying, Four Loko was really like popular. That was the booze of choice for high school kids. When my kids were in high school, it was easy. It was cheap. It was easy to get their hands on. So my kids are authorities on Four Lokos.
I was in a bar in Chapel Hill after a work event, And all the kids were drinking Four Locos. It was like a college bar.
Yeah.
And me and a few of my buddies decided to, we were asking the bartender about it. And the bartender was like, you don't want to drink this shit. And we're like, okay, get, you know, serve it up. I had one big, like a 24 ounce can. And I wasn't really drunk before. I'd probably had like two drinks. And I mean, I was just gone off to the races.
Right.
And I was a pretty veteran drinker at the time. But I was like, this shit is fucking bad. Like, like, how does this even, how are they selling this? Like, it's like crack or probably, I've never even done drugs, but I mean, I couldn't drink anymore and we had to go back to the hotel room.
Yeah.
And my friends were the same way. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. And it's, you know, it's cheap like crack and it fucking is, it works fast like crack and, you know. Going back to music, the other artist that makes me sick is U2. Like, you know, they've become holier than thou. I remember I saw them for $15 in Buffalo when I was a kid, and it was still to this day the greatest show I ever saw in my life. But I wouldn't go to see U2 if they were playing in my living room now. And, you know, Bono is constantly demanding governments, you know, fund his charities he's involved in. And, you know, and he's got that liberal sensibility. But when it comes to his own life, you know, he moves to a mansion in France to escape the taxes.
There you go.
You know, it's just like, I don't know, man.
Well, we have to give these people an out. And to be honest with you, because what I don't like is crucifying people that for one reason or other painted themselves into a corner or not. Excuse me. Got a little leftover something from the beach. But like, I was thinking, as much as I hated the Grateful Dead when I was a youngster, and I went to their concerts, and I don't necessarily hate their music, but that whole lifestyle just annoyed the fuck out of me. Right. You know, the kids doing the drugs and making rock soup and, you know, I'm only making enough money to get to the next show or whatever the fuck. Like, I hated that. But at the end of the day, like, they wanted you to tape their concert. Like, they went against everything that we hate today.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember their concerts being super expensive and they probably didn't make shit for money and all they did was tour. So I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a history though. Like, you don't have to. And again, Bruce's team could have just made a hollow statement and said, you know, this is outrageous. We will look into this and then not do anything, but still save more face than they did. But there's a band, they're, you know, well known called Crowded House. They stood up to Ticketmaster over dynamic pricing 2 years ago. You know, they demanded that fans be refunded money, you know. And then there's like the case of Pearl Jam 30 years ago. They went to Capitol Hill and, you know, they sued Ticketmaster over antitrust. And, you know, they ended up losing, but they made this really principled stand, you know, against Ticketmaster. And like Billy Joel won't sell front row tickets. I think he leaves like the first couple of front rows empty. And then they take the tickets and he sends people on his team around and they grab kids like in the worst seats possible and bring them down.
Yep.
And I heard an interview with him recently and he said the reason why he does that is he was performing these shows and he was realizing that the front row was just filled with all these rich fat cats, you know, who would just stare at him. And he'd get the sense that they were like saying with their eyes, like, you know, perform for me, piano man. And he was like, you know, I'm nobody's monkey boy. But like that, you know, the artists, you can be an artist who stands up to this shit
Yeah.
And it's really disappointed, I think, people that you know, Bruce hasn't done that. And by the way, those tickets that they're the dynamic pricing for Bruce isn't even close to the most expensive out there. I read recently that because of dynamic pricing, some tickets for Adele, who's like this great vocalist, were $40,000.
I just read, I read an article in the LA Times. I think that's where, did you get that from that? Because I saw that too.
I can't remember.
I made a bullet point out of that as well. That I was like, who would pay that much?
I know.
That's an expensive car.
and I wouldn't even spend that on a car, you know, let alone fucking concert.
I mean, I don't know. That's, you know, I'd like to think in a world of supply and demand, they balance out, but it just sounds like it's insane.
I had a longstanding rule, you know, and again, I can get away with it because of the music I like. I'm more of a punk music fan, but I've had a longstanding rule up until really before the pandemic hit that I wouldn't spend more than $35 on a concert ticket. And I saw good shows still to this day for that price, you know?
Yeah.
I just saw Rage Against the Machine in Buffalo, and the tickets were expensive, but someone had purchased a ticket for me as a gift for because I returned to Buffalo, and that was cool because I got to see them for free, and it was a great show. But I don't think I would have spent money on the ticket if myself. So,
I mean, I saw the Dropkick Murphys in a bar in Santa Cruz. It's like maybe 2000. And I don't know what the tickets were, but they weren't expensive. They were probably like 10, 15 bucks.
Yeah.
And my brother and I went down there and probably had one of the best times ever. I mean, people were fighting. I climbed up on the stage and dove off the stage. Probably the only time I've ever done that. But I mean, I don't know. I just think for getting your money's worth. And there was like a bar. We were drinking all night, and we were at a hotel like 150 yards away. And it always sticks out in my mind is like the best times I usually have are the cheapest times.
Yeah, there's a video on the internet, and it's of Kurt Cobain, and this is when Nirvana was like the biggest band on the planet. And the interviewer told him, they were talking about ticket prices, and the interviewer told him, he like basically educated Kurt Cobain. He informed Kurt Cobain that Madonna was charging $50 per ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Kurt Cobain, when he heard the news, it was like, he couldn't get over it. He thought it was a lie. You know, and I'm just thinking, like
why would someone pay so much to see that crap?
Yeah. And this was the biggest band on the planet at the time, you know, and that was like, what, 30 years ago. And fuck, now look at what concert tickets cost.
I mean, is there a bigger problem with society that like we're so starved for like a good time that we'll spend that kind of fucking money on these things?
Yeah, well, I mean, I get priorities because there are people that are still willing to pay this fucking. I don't know. You know, Bruce can get attacked all he wants over this, but he's going to sell out every fucking show.
That's true. I didn't even try to go to any of those Broadway shows when I heard about it. Like, I was interested for maybe 5-10 minutes. And then I just was so like turned off. I was like, yeah, I don't think I need to go see that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a really good point because that's, you know, people are attacking him now, but like those Broadway shows he did, the tickets were like $700 or more a piece. And
it just sounded so ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. And then, and I know people who paid that.
Yeah.
You know, and I know one person who paid it and, you know, made no apologies. I know another person who paid it and he's like, I make myself sick, but it was a really good show, you know? But then mm-hmm. Bruce also just sold his catalog, I think, to Sony for $500 million.
Yep.
So, like, do you really need this money, Bruce? I don't know, man. And I know a lot of the money that's generated goes to pay the people who are working the tour and stuff like that and covering expenses. But still, Jesus Christ.
It's where do some of these profits go? And they, you know, you've brought this up in the past when we're talking about certain like CEO pay. It's money that gets stuffed into the wrong people's pockets and it doesn't get moved around in the economy. You know, and that's how you know, the whole rich getting richer thing really does, you know, there's like the old saying, money's like manure. You know, it doesn't do any good unless you spread it around. And it's true. You see that like people like that have that power, they need to put it back into the economy and put it back into little people's hands. You know, when he was making North Carolina pay for that bathroom law thing, and I'll stay away from any political leanings, only to say I really didn't care about much of it. But he canceled the concert in Greensboro. I was going to go to it, as a matter of fact. And you think, well, he's not fucking hurting the governor. He's not hurting the state of North Carolina. He's hurting the poor people that work those fucking venues. Yeah. There's people selling popcorn, drinks, beers, the parking lot guys. Those are the people he's fucking over. And those are, you know, those are his people, the poor people, right? The working poor or the invisible poor.
Right.
I don't know. It fucking made me angry with him because I'm, again, you want to take a stand on something. I understand that. And I can appreciate stuff like that. But when your actions fuck the people that you supposedly represent, I don't even know if you call that the law of unintended consequences. I don't know.
Well, you know, Bruce's daughter is a equestrian
rich
star.
Motherfucker riding horses.
Yeah, so I mean that pretty much says everything.
Dressage. I never even heard of that till they made fun of Mitt Romney and his.
Well, you know, I worked in Lake Placid for a couple of years. Oh, and there's an Olympic equestrian training facility there and where they would shows. And, you know, the only people that were involved in equestrian were like the upper crust of society.
Oh, yeah.
His daughter used to ride up there. So Bruce would like, you know, chop her into Lake Placid and watch her equestrian. Is that the verb? I don't know. And, you know, chop her out in a couple hours. And
you ever meet him?
No, but like, you know, again, I just always found that funny. Like, you know, here's the working man whose daughter is an equestrian star. You know, it's like,
what are you gonna do?
Hang out at the country club much? I wonder if he belongs to a country club secretly.
I mean, you gotta wonder why he's riding his motorcycle around and drinking booze in the in a park.
Maybe he hates himself like I do. Maybe that's his version of like avoiding mirrors.
Maybe he just had to get away from everyone so he could sit. Like, I wonder if he got a brown paper bag so he could pretend to be like homeless for a little while. Poor bastard. I mean, I don't know what to make of any of it, but some of these lies that we get fed just. To me, I'll sum it up with my 8-year-old daughter, like, and it'll tie back into our beginning because we asked her if she wanted to go to Disney and we just went to the beach. And I'm telling you, my daughter had so much fun not doing shit except playing on the beach.
Yeah.
And I played with her. I watched her play. I mean, her and I went to the beach the one morning and within 20 minutes, this little girl and her brother came walking up to my daughter and they're like, hey, you want to come play with us? I sat there and watched her play with these kids at the beach for like 2 hours, making sandcastles and looking for clam shells and all kinds of weird stuff. And they had the best freaking time.
Yep.
And it didn't cost a damn thing. Yeah. Our rental was like $200 a night. Big deal. You know what I mean?
All right.
And I think, I mean, if I'm going to get on my high horse for half a second, you know, having fun doing simple things is becoming a lost art.
Well, yeah. Well, it goes back to, you know, your question of like, what's going on in society that people are feel the need to pay these concert ticket prices. And again, Bruce is going to sell out despite the controversy. And, you know, it reminds me of, it reminds me of that famous saying from that old cartoon Pogo where, you know, I've seen the enemy and it is us. Yeah. Ultimately, it's always the average person's fault because we fucking put up with this bullshit.
True. True, true, true.
You know? I don't know.
It's way too early for all this philosophical stuff, but I'm glad you had fun last night.
Yeah. There's a lot to do here. So
I always see concerts in Buffalo, and my family just had like some kind of family reunion at Chestnut Ridge Park. We didn't go to it because I'd already booked my beach rental, and I kind of prefer my own private vacations, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, I don't know how. I would much rather have a private vacation than go on vacation with people.
The other thing I'll brag about, and then we can wrap up, it's my son, who's a freshman, starting his freshman year of high school, just made his cross-country team. And that was the other reason we couldn't have gone up there. He had tryouts and all the stuff. So he's a running machine, much better than his dad ever was at that. At his age, I was hiding behind trees.
Well, I was just going to say, let's hope he's not hiding behind trees like his father.
Exactly. All right, man. Well, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
Just going to avoid mirrors today.
I definitely understand that, and I concur with you.
All right, man.
Have a great one, buddy.
Stay free.